Mind's moving? Okay. We're ready to start. I'm really excited this morning because God really showed up this morning. That's why I said we have to record this one. Sunday was terrible. When I talked, it was just awful. It was boring. Not Sunday morning, but Sunday night's healing service. I started trying to share what I had, and God was not in it. I just felt like something is wrong, and finally I just shut up. You know, God's not in it. You might as well quit. So I finally said, okay, God, this isn't working, and, you know, if you're not in it, I'm out of it. So I went and sat down for a little bit, and we shut off the recording, and I'm throwing away that CD. But God started talking to me that we needed to take some things before Him before we could be ready. And I started and just came up and went before God's courtroom and held myself guilty for some things that had, you know, bad attitudes and judgments and things that I'd had in my mind that day that were blocking His flow. And then after I did that, others started coming up and doing the same thing, you know, and just confessing and getting our hearts ready before God. And then He really showed up in the prayer time, in the soaking time. He really showed up, and some people got some awesome healing. But there's no recording because we don't record the prayer time. So there's nothing for you to take to your friends from that meeting except what He did inside of you if you were there. But this morning, He has something definitely awesome to share with you. And we like to record it, you know, so that you can tell others to go on the website. And that's what I want you to say. Somebody asked if they could get a copy. They're all on the website. So if they have a computer and they can go to the website, they can go in there and find all of the messages that happen here. And if they don't have a computer and they want a copy, then come see us and we'll try to get them a hard copy for them. Father, we just love You so much. You are so awesome. You are so awesome. I just thank You for Your mercy being new every day. God, I think I try that 490 times a day, every day. And I hate how many times my flesh wins and my heart returns to attitudes and sin and coldness. And I hate it, God, but we are weak and we keep doing it. And You said, Lord, that the righteous man falls seven times a day, but he rises up again. And God, if we just confess our sin, You are faithful and just, not only to forgive us, cleanse us of it. You wash it right away so we can come back into Your presence and into Your fellowship. You are so awesome. Lord, we just wait for our transformation so we can be more like You. God, we ask You right now, we want to bring before You right anything that would be preventing us from hearing You this morning. Lord, we invite You to search us, oh God. Know our thoughts, know our emotions, know even the things that we haven't recognized, and bring them to the surface, bring them into Your light, that we might agree with You that they are wrong and we don't want them living in us. Right now, Lord, search us. Prepare us. Lord, You said that You wanted honesty from the inwardmost parts, and in the hidden parts, You would make us to know wisdom. We just want to get honest with You. Lord, it doesn't matter so much what others have done to us. We bring them before You and we say they are guilty. But we choose to drop the charges and forgive them and let them go. And Lord, how we respond to them, that's what we need to face. Have we let those things that happened to us cause us now to enter into sin? We want to bring that before You, God. And we want to bring it under the blood of Jesus and let it be washed away. Thank You, Jesus. What God gave us this morning is the secret place. Matthew 22:36-40 is going to be the first place we go if you want to follow. God wants to draw you into himself. He wants you to know him. He doesn't just want you to know about him. He wants you to intimately know him, to love him, and to be loved by him. I'm telling you, his love is, it's like a warm, flowing, healing medicine. You just when his love comes on you, it's powerful. Our focus is relationship with God first, then others and yourself. If you do not have a love relationship, intimate with God, you cannot love others and you cannot love yourself. Because love has to be full of mercy. And in our carnal flesh, we're not full of mercy. We're not. Someone offends us, we're hurt, we're angry, we don't want to be near them again. And it doesn't matter how many times we say, I choose, I choose, I choose. We can't change what we feel. It takes the love of God to heal the heart and to help you be able to feel affection for that person again. You can't do it. So you have to know God intimately. You have to live in the love of God in order to love anyone else. You have to live in the love of God to love you. I was just so, I don't think I had a new testimony for you this morning, but I do. I couldn't believe the thoughts I was having with my new grandson, because he cries and cries. I mean, she nurses him 24/7, you know. He's eating constantly, and if she ever sits him down and goes to do something, he starts screaming again. So I have never been good. I had 6 children, 18 grandkids, and I love them tremendously. But I had a problem with newborn babies. I really had a problem of sitting and holding them for such a long time. I felt like, I need to do this, I need to do that. I'm trapped, I can't get up, I can't move. And it was like, and as he was crying the last couple of days, I don't remember thinking this before, but the last couple of days whenever he would start crying and she'd say, would you get the baby? I was immediately thinking, why do I have to get the baby? You know, I don't want to go hold the baby. I don't want to sit there and hold it. I'd go to pick him up and I would have this thought come in my mind, shut up. Why can't you just shut up? I have things to do. And I thought, oh man, that is so wicked. How could I think that about this little baby? He's just a baby, you know, he needs. And then I would sit there and hold him and pat him and think, I would rather be out there doing what she's doing. Just let me cook the dinner. Let me go sweep the floor. She's doing me a favor. And I would rather go do my own work than be trapped in this chair holding a baby. And I thought, God, what is wrong with me? I went to soak this morning. And God told me to go get the picture of my mom. She died years ago. And I went and got her picture. And he said, now I want you to look in her eyes. And I'm going to get in her eyes. And I'm going to look into you what she should have looked into you and tell you who you are. And I felt like I was a little baby in the arms of my mom. And you see, I was an unwanted pregnancy. And I know that what I received as a newborn was, can't you just shut up? I have things to do. That's what was in my spirit. God revealed it yesterday. She didn't have time for me. I even used to have a dream repeatedly that I was a baby in a crib and I was crying and I saw the door of the dark room open and the light and I saw a big shadowy figure come and that figure's hand came down and clamped my mouth and told me, shut up. I remember I had that dream over and over and over. And that, I think, is what came in my spirit. You had better be quiet if you want to be accepted here. I was never a crier. Mom said I was a very quiet child. But when God, in spirit this morning, was holding me in the arms of a mother. Did you lock it? Thank you. When he was holding me in the arms of a mother, and I there was just patience. There was just this mother's arm saying, everything else can wait because you are worth it and you need me and I'm here for you. Nothing else matters. And she just held me and held me. And I'm looking up in the eyes of my mom, and her eyes are saying things that I never got. First, her eyes said some things my real mother did give me. She said, you're going to be an artist. You're going to be a writer. And then mom began saying things to me she never did say. Because, see, the devil had said, shut up, when I was still in the baby crib. And my mother began saying, speak up. Speak up. You have something to say. You're going to be a speaker. You see, the devil stole that from me. And my mother gave it back to me. My mother, in the form of God, gave it back to me this morning. And I just kept looking in those eyes and saying, what else, what else, what else? Mom's eyes were just twinkling. Twinkling, but it was God. His eyes were twinkling, and he was just imparting all these things who he created me to be. And he had so much time for me. A lot of times I share that my mother, as I grew up, my mother didn't look at me. She never looked me in the eyes, and I think it was her guilt for not wanting me, but she could not look me in the eyes. She'd stay behind her newspaper and say, yes, you can go. Yes, it's over there. She didn't look at me. She would always talk to me without looking at me. You're supposed to find who you are in the eyes of your parents. Sometimes when their eyes look at you, and an evil spirit gets in them, and that spirit lies to you about who you are. This morning, I started growing up in the arms of my mother. And she was sitting in that chair with her newspaper, and I came up. Now, I told you the other day, I think, I don't know which class I said it in, Mom wore those old I Love Lucy dresses. You know what I mean by that? They had a big, full, did you ever watch I Love Lucy? She had these dresses with a waist, big, full skirt, giant pockets, you know? Well, Mom had one that every time I think of my mother, I think of her in that dress. And I used to hide in the skirts of her dress and hold onto her dress because I was really insecure. But I saw my mom in the chair reading that newspaper, and she had on that dress. And I went up, and I just kind of tugged on her dress, a little fearful of what she would do because I wanted her attention. She threw that newspaper away and picked me up, looked me right in the eyes, and started playing with me and loving me, pouring love into me. It was so, and God is just putting this in my spirit. It was so exciting. And Mom said, I'll be right back. She went in her room, and she came back in a different dress. And she gave me that dress that I love so much and told me to put it on because we were going to play dress up. And Mom got down at the floor in my little table and played tea party with me. And I was dressed in her dress, being the mom. You know what that meant? God had given me mothering so that I could have mothering. Now I got to wear the dress of a mother. A lot of times I talk about my mom and my dad and the things that they didn't do for me because I want to share what God wants to do for you. But I also want to honor my mom and my dad because they came to God and they gave their lives to God. And Mom and I became, later in my life, as I got older and Mom gave her life to God, she was my best friend. She was my absolute best friend, and she was always there for me. As an adult, Mom was always there for me, and I loved her dearly. And my dad, my stepdad, the molester and the mean old man, got saved when he was 60, and he was so sweet and tender, he couldn't pray for dinner without weeping. He was a precious, tender-hearted, went to church 3 times a week, carried his Bible everywhere, cried over Jesus. He's my dad by choice. You see, my real dad wasn't there. But after my stepdad got saved, I love him so much. I wrote him a poem and said, you didn't have to be my dad. You chose to be. And I choose you to be my real dad. I love my parents very much. And I know that they would want me to share the mistakes they made. They would want me to share it for your healing. They would want me to share it for the glory of God. So when I share the wicked things they did, I want you to know they gave their life to God and they are awesome and they're in heaven. And I can't wait to see them. That was a good morning. That's why I almost didn't get here on time. God had to kick me out. I'm sitting there in his presence just going, Jesus, you are so awesome. You are so wonderful. I'm having such a good time. And he said, leave. I went, I don't want to leave. And he said, you got to go right now. I looked at the clock and it was 10:25. I said, oh, okay. So I'm a little bit late. But at this time, I'm not blaming Harvey. I'm blaming God. Matthew 22:36-40. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Did you notice he said there's two laws, but there's three loves? Two laws. The first is to love God with everything you have. And that's actually the easiest because he's perfect. It's not easy to love imperfect people. They offend you. They hurt you. We were at the meeting and two precious ladies came up. One said, I am so sorry I hurt you. Please forgive me and I promise I will never hurt you again. And I went up and said, yes, you will. Yes, you will. We will continually hurt each other because we're sinners. We don't understand. We will hurt each other. But God is perfect, so it's easier to love him. And he said, if you will just come in and love God with all your heart, all your soul is your personality, your mind, everything that you are is your soul. If you will do that, then you can do the second commandment. And the second commandment is actually one. It's the second one. It includes loving others. Once you love yourself, you automatically will love others. Because it's what we judge in ourselves that prevents us from loving others. It's what we think of us that puts up every judgment about them and what they think of us. So once you let God love you and you learn to love you, you will let that flow over to others. It's automatic. So it's actually kind of one commandment. But you cannot love yourself or your neighbor with a real, full, deep, merciful, committed, unconditional love until you know God intimately. Because we don't have that kind of love. It only comes from him. We do not have it. We cannot give what we don't have. I cannot sit there and hold that baby with a full heart of patience and mercy until I have it in me. Once I have it in me, I can picture myself sitting in that chair all day long holding that baby. Because nothing else matters. He's worth it. I had to be worth it first to someone. And you are worth it to God. Worth it to God. God is love. He doesn't love. He doesn't just love. But he is love. He is love. And he is life. Psalm 46:10. God says, be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. You can't know God until you be still. You have to still your thoughts, still your fears, and come before him. It's not a knowledge of knowing God. We can know all about God, and we start there. We start reading his word, and he starts revealing who he is so that we can trust him to still ourselves before him. But we're talking about a deeper knowing, a spiritual knowing, an emotional heart knowing that's just soaking in the pure love of who he is, letting him go deep inside of you and find everything, and knowing that he is good, knowing who God is. will help you trust him. He's holy. He's pure. He's good. He's kind. You can trust him because he does love you. That emptiness in you that just craves something, God is what you crave.
That's right.
You crave to be loved. And you can pour out your case to everybody that ought to love you, and they don't get it. They don't get it because we're basically selfish. We're basically born in sin and pride. Therefore, we're selfish. We enter a relationship saying, I need you to be my friend. And they're over there going, I need you to be my friend. Won't you just listen to me? You listen to me. We're all talking and nobody's listening. Everybody's taking. Nobody's giving. Because we're all full of need. But when you come to God, he's the giver. He gives and gives and gives and gives. And when your needs get met, you just overflow and start giving to someone else. We have so many expectations in relationship. You're my husband. You're supposed to take care of me and provide for me and protect me. And does your husband wear a big red S on his chest? He can't stop bullets and he can't fly. He's powerless to protect you. Powerless. He's your provider. In this economy, where's your security? Where's your security? Make all your expectations in God.
That's right.
Because you know what? God can take one egg and feed a family of six and they'll all walk away full. Can your husband do that? Husbands need to be nurtured. They need to be nurtured. Women are life givers. I have got a message coming in my spirit that is going to blow your shoes off. But it's not quite ready. I'm just going to tell you where it started. God created Adam, and he took the womb out of Adam and made it a woman. Through woman, everything is birthed. Nurturing, loving, cuddling, and birthing. And this is a great mystery, but this is about Christ and the church. Read Ephesians. Christ and his church, Christ and his bride. We, the people of God, are the womb of God. We're the womb of Christ. We are his completer. Christ comes to us, and he births through us. He nurtures through us because we're his womb. Isn't that awesome? That's going to become a message that is powerful. It's so good. God is so good. God will never leave. He is pure love, but we don't even know what love is. We think of love as always soft and mushy and give you what you want and be really nice and, oh, I don't want to hurt your feelings. That's not love. Somebody's driving off a cliff and you don't tell them, that's not love. If you don't discipline your child, then you give them to the devil. That's not love. Love does what's best for you. So when you come in and you're laying in the presence of God and something ugly shows up that you don't like, and you're going, but God, I thought you just want to be nice to me. I'm being nice to you. I turned my lights on in your darkness and look who I found. And I don't like him being in there tormenting you. I don't like him living in your life lying to you. So I'm shining my light on him. And when you get honest with me, we're going to kick him out. Bad attitudes, judgment, criticism, unforgiveness. I don't want it eating you up. So I'm going to discipline you. If you keep letting that live in you, I will discipline you to get your attention because I love you. He's the perfect father. He's the perfect daddy. And you need to trust him. See, we're not 2 years old anymore. Mama says you can't have that candy bar. Why? I want it. Don't you like me to be happy? You can't have the candy bar. And you take it. And Mama spanks you. And do you go, thank you, Mom, I needed that. Because I was stealing and being selfish, and I appreciate your discipline. No. Babies don't do that. They go to the room, I don't like her. She hit me. Janiah's kids, they're so funny. Every time Janiah spanks Sahara, she goes, you hurt me on purpose. You made me bleed. She's not bleeding, by the way. This is exaggeration. But don't you like me? That's what we do when we get disciplined and we don't understand love. But we're grown-ups. And when God disciplines us, when he takes us to face the hard things, when he tells us to do what we don't like, we can trust him that it is 100% the best thing for you. He didn't lose his temper. He doesn't enjoy hitting you. He doesn't enjoy telling you no. He really does not enjoy telling you no. Have you ever given to somebody that is greedy and selfish? They don't say thank you. They don't appreciate it. And what happens in your heart? You don't want to give them anything else. But when you give to somebody who's thankful, you want to give more and more and more. But because we live in greed and unthankfulness and unholiness, God can't give us what he has for us. He'd love to just pour out the treasures of heaven on you. But he can't. Because you'd get so caught up in the greed of those treasures, you'd forget him. History proves it over and over and over and over. God blessed his people. They forgot him. Fell into sin and horrible stuff and persecution and captivity. God, he rescued them. He loved them. He blessed them. Who? I'm going to Cedar Point today. I'm going to do this. I don't need God. I'm too happy to need God. Isn't it a shame to only need him when we're not happy? He'd love to see us say, I'm so happy, I got to go tell God. Share happy with him. Don't leave him out of your happy. God is so fun. He is so fun. Dear my inner healing, and I got so excited. I love to study the Bible and I love to teach. And I really dislike it after I go and do an inner healing meeting somewhere. And then people introduce me as, this is Sue Hampton and her ministry is inner healing. And I go, no, that's only a little piece. I mean, I have so much more to what my ministry is than inner healing. This morning, when my mom was looking in my eyes, and she said, your ministry is inner healing. And I went, oh my gosh, is there anything better? Is there anything better than getting to carry the love of God, the powerful, life-changing love of God to somebody and give it to them and see that life transformed and flooded with his love? Is there anything better? I go, I spend the rest of my days doing inner healing and be thrilled. I just got so excited about who I am in God, what I get to do. Because see, we're created in his image with a purpose. I hope that burns into you today. He wants your healing more than you do. He wants you delivered more than you want to be delivered. He wants you loved more than you want to be loved. He wants you because he created you for his purpose. As one reflection of him that could shine on this earth. For his purpose. And you won't shine until you come out of your darkness. He wants it more than you do. So he's not going to let you down. He won't let you down. It's not like you have to go in begging him for it as though he wants everyone but you. God, I don't think God is going to work for me. I think I'm too bad or I'm just not worth anything and I've failed you so many times. And No. He has a purpose. Your sin, your pain, your deceptions are blocking the purpose of God on earth. He wants this for you so that his light can shine the way he created you to let it shine. He's got a plan for you. Oh, I can't wait till I get to do that womb thing because the plan started before the first man was created. And you're part of the plan. Every one of you. Part of that plan. You are marvelously, wonderfully created with a purpose to reflect God. I don't care what anybody has said to you through their eyes or through their words. I don't care if they looked at you and said, you little brat. You might be acting like a little brat, but it's not you. It's that evil spirit you let live in you. Because you see, we have the option. Am I going to let God live in me? I'm going to let the devil live in me. These are just invisible spirits out here. You choose every minute, every day, which one lives in you. Which one lives in you. Which attitude. You know what I tell the kids? All of a sudden, when you see the devil show up. all over their face. And I tell them, oh, you just got ugly. The ugly got on your face again. Don't let him stay on your face. Take him and say, in the name of Jesus, ugly, you're not going to live in me or on my face. And throw him out and say, Jesus, I only want you to live in me. And then they smile. They go, you got your pretty back. Kids love it. We need to learn it.
Yeah.
We need to learn it. Pick up a mirror sometime when you're feeling awful and see how ugly you can be. You're ugly when the devil's on your face. And you know what? Your mom and dad didn't hate you. They really didn't. They didn't. But the devil that got on their face hated you. You felt hated because he does hate you. He does. And the minute somebody lets an evil spirit express itself through them, that's whose eyes are looking at you, not the person. You know, dad loses his temper and he starts screaming, why can't you ever do what I tell you to do? You're useless. You're no good. Why don't you do what you're told to do? His eyes are screaming, I hate you. You're useless, lazy, no good thing. But he doesn't feel that in his heart, really, because your daddy loves you. And when he's all done and you go, you hate me, and he goes, no, I don't. I love you. Where'd you get that idea? Because those eyes, that evil spirit who really hates you, daddy let him live in his eyes for a moment. And that spirit said, you're hated. You are hated. You are worthless and your father hates you. The evil spirit lied to you. Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you. Remember that when you're looking at others. What spirit are you letting borrow your eyes for the moment? What spirit borrowing your eyes? Your words, tongues of serpents. Are you biting with poisonous venom? It's not you. Stop letting him live in you. Stop letting him use you. You want to beat the devil and be free? You've got to start knowing who he is. Start recognizing him for who he is and telling him, no, you don't live here anymore. Jesus drives my car. It's all about love. You need to know who God is. He is not sitting in the board, at the head of the board of deacons. He is not standing at the front of the church demanding what you do with your life or else. He is not religious. He is not stuffy. He is, first of all, he is awesome, holy, pure, king on a throne, and his train fills the temple. And there are all kinds of angels falling on their face singing, holy, holy, holy. You are so holy. It's a privilege to be in your presence. Oh, God, dare we come near you. You are a fire of purity, burning away everything evil. You are so holy. And we know that he is that holy. But he's your daddy. If you've been born by the Spirit into his family, he's your daddy. And he says, psst, daughter, come here. Meet me in my chambers. And he goes in the back room and he gets up in the big daddy chair. And he takes off his robes and he's in jeans and suspenders and an old plaid red shirt with his white beard. He says, come up on my lap. Let me just love you. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about? He's real. He's awesome. He dances. He dances with you. He romances you. He likes to run in mud puddles and splash. And he doesn't even care if he gets mud on his clothes. Mud's not sin. He made it. He made you out of it, by the way. You don't ever need to fear God. Luke 11:11 says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a fish or will he give him a serpent? Will he give him a snake? Now, can you imagine coming to your daddy and saying, daddy, I'm hungry. Could I have a fish? And that mean old wicked daddy just pulls out a snake and says, can't have a fish, you get a snake. No. When you ask God for His Holy Spirit, He will not give you a demon. When you come in a sincere heart saying, God, I'm kind of scared. I'm kind of scared to open up everything. I'm kind of scared you might not like what you find, and I know I won't like what I find, and I'm scared of that. I'm afraid that if I come, the devils can get me. What if I just totally abandon myself to you? And Satan takes advantage of that. If you ask him for his Holy Spirit, he will not give you a demon. You can trust him. You can trust him. You let him. You let him. By coming into stillness, be still. Be still. And know that I am God. Be still with a purpose. Be still with a focus. This isn't New Age. They sit there going, om, om, om. You know, come on. They're just trying to blank everything out of their mind, going, om, om, om. Nothing, no thoughts, nothing. Total abandonment of my brain. Total abandonment. That isn't stillness. He's coming back to the front, Don. Harvey, you want to catch him? Tell him it's a meeting time, not a food handout. He can come back later. That's your brother. Oh, I guess you would want him to come in. Good morning, brother of Don. All right. That's awesome. In 1 Corinthians 13, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I want to read it because there's a lot of good things in there. But Paul implores us to abandon the fleshly realm. Abandon the fleshly realm. And to go to a mature love with God. To a completion of who we are. To what we're meant to be. Not just what we're meant to do. But it will result in what we do. Because love always expresses itself in action too. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, charity means love, godly love, I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. When I tried to teach last Sunday night, that's what it sounded like to me. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. You could take the word charity and exchange it for God's love. It is God Himself. I do all those things, but there is no life in me. I do all those things, but there is no miracle power in me. Anointing. You know, all these things just mean God. What's anointing? God gets on you. God flows through you. God is love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. We're getting an awesome food pantry going, and we're feeding the poor. That's a good thing to do. But if they go to hell full, we didn't do anything. They need love. They need God. Charity suffers long. Let me tell you, if you're going to love somebody, you're going to get a love project, you're going to suffer. Because we hurt each other. And is kind. Charity does not envy. Charity vaunteth not itself up. It's not proud. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. Is not easily provoked. And thinks no evil. You're afraid what God's going to find in you? It's impossible for God to think evil. He can't think evil of you. Because you were created in his image. He can't think evil of you. It rejoices not in iniquity. When he does find iniquity in you, he doesn't rejoice. You know, we see somebody do something, we go, oh, you know what they did. When God sees what they did, he weeps. Oh, they've been deceived by sin. That breaks my heart. He rejoices in the truth because the truth can set you free. It bears all things and it believes all things. Does God believe in you? He has to. Because here's God. Which side of the chart? He's on that side when we put the chart up. Here's God. Here's you, created in His image. And that's what He sees. The you He created, just like Him. He doesn't see the pride and the shame and the sin and the mistakes. And He doesn't see that. He's like a mom who says, oh, but he's really a good boy at heart, the way I created him to be. He just got in the company of bad people. He sure did, called demons. He got in the company of Satan and let Satan do what he wanted. That's all those little black figures we see in the figure, the things we do, all the shame and the guilt and the things we do. You got in the company of the wrong kind of friends. You've been hanging out with the demons. But God still sees the real you. That's where He wants to take you, so you can see the real you. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity, love, never fails. But where there's prophecies, they shall fail. Where there are tongues, they shall cease. Where there's knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we only know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We've heard that preached a lot of ways, but I'm telling you, you are broken in parts right now. And when He who is perfect comes inside of you, those parts will vanish away because He wants to put you back together. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Children are easily deceived by the devil. We need to recognize Him and stop letting Him play around with us. For now we see through a glass darkly. There's dirt on our mirror. We can't fully see. But then we're going to see Him face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even also as I am known. We've been taught that this means when we go to heaven. When we go to heaven, and that's true, when you go to heaven, there won't be any darkness on your mirror. You will perfectly see face to face with Jesus, and you'll know fully who you are. But you can get some dirt off your mirror right now. And you can come face to face with Him right now and begin to get bigger glimpses of who you are. Now abides faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Pure love of God. And that's our point today. Verse 13, the secret place is where charity lives. In the outer court is the place that you come to God when you get saved. The outer court of God's presence, you meet Jesus. You get born into the family of God. You've decided you want God to be your life, and you've brought all your sin to Jesus to be forgiven with the payment of His own blood. And you're in the outer court. You met God, your heart gets excited, you kind of feel better, love people, love trees. You're touching the love of God, you're getting to know Him in that outer court. He came out to meet you to the outer court. He came out from the deepest holy place to the outer court to get you. That's where you meet Jesus. That's where it all begins. And in the outer court abideth faith. Faith, hope, and charity. Outer court is faith. In the outer court, you begin to develop faith in God, who He is, and put all your trust and hope in Him. And then you can move to the inner court. This is the place where we find the candlesticks, the oil, the beautiful smelling oils, the burning flame. It's a place of worship, where you go deeper in your relationship with God. You worship Him. You love Him. You seek Him. You confess all your sins and they're forgiven every day. You wash away everything that's between you and God. And you come in there and you want God. You want to meet Him. And this is where you begin to go deeper in relationship because you want more. And this is the place where we get filled with His Holy Ghost. His Holy Ghost takes us to this inner court. And He fills us with His presence. We get baptized in the Spirit of Him. And there's a mixture here. There's a mixture. There's flesh, carnality, and there's God and the Holy Spirit. And we're back and forth in this place with God, worshiping Him, mad at my neighbor, worshiping Him, don't want to do my job, worshiping Him, oh, but I still have fear. We are seeking Him, and we're finding Him. There's a mixture of the Holy Spirit mixing with our humanity in this place. And in that place is hope. We begin to find hope. In the outer court, we begin to develop faith. In the inner court, we find hope. We begin finding hope to overcome the flesh, hope to have relationship with our God. We find forgiveness. We forgive our enemies. Here's where there's a mixture. You and God exchanging. But there's another court, and it's beyond the veil. And in the court that is beyond the veil, it's all God. And in that place we find pure charity, perfect love of God. Beyond the veil is all God. And this is where you be still and know that I am God. It's all God. No works, no worship, no seeking. There's you laying down and going, God, do what only you can. I just lay down in this place and wait for you to move. It's got to be all you. I can't help you. It's just got to be all God. All God in that place. Beyond the veil. You can't just open the door and jump in beyond the veil. You have to come in through thanksgiving for your salvation, confessing some sin, to the inner court of worship and seeking. Tell Him all your pains and all your needs and all your problems and all your sin, and come through that inner court. And when you finally get through the inner court, go beyond the veil and be still and know that I am God. Know that it's got to be pure God in that place. You trust Him. No hiding. Nothing covered. Here's the place where you can see only by the light of God. Here's the place of pure revelation into your spirit. Here's the place of mercy, no warfare. Here's the place where we melt, all of our efforts melt away, and our hearts just wait and trust. When He moves, when His love begins to flow in us in this place, it's beyond explanation. This is where the miracle of inner healing, deliverance begins, happens. This is where it happens. This is where I was this morning when He's looking in my eyes with the love of a mother. And it changed me. Transformation. The Word says as we behold Him in the face of Jesus, we are transformed. That's beyond the veil. That's where it's only God. We can't do it. Yielding and receiving and waiting for the light of His presence to come and do what only He can do. I have two CDs this morning. I want to play the first one to give you a chance to enter His presence. To bring your pains, to bring your sins, to bring everything, to seek Him, to love Him, to thank Him, to tell Him, I want you, I want to trust you. I want everything gone that could block me from coming beyond the veil. And we're going to spend a little bit of time in that first CD to give you some time to do that. And you don't have to wait for the second CD. I mean, maybe you're ready to just run behind the veil. You've already done all that. That's cool, you know. But at whatever moment that you begin to really feel ready, then I want you to just say, God, I'm done. I poured out what I know to pour out. I don't know anything else. I've told you I want you. Worship doesn't mean you have to sing the song and dance. Whatever you feel like doing, just tell Him, I choose you, I love you, I want you. I'm seeking you. And then I want you to just lay your life down. Now, you can lay down literally if you want, and I'll even throw some pillows on the floor. Or you can sit in your chair. If you have to stay in a chair, I really want you to get comfortable. So get a couple of them and put one for your feet. Put your feet up and still take a pillow if you need it. Get really comfortable so you can just lay down beyond the veil and let God visit you this morning and do what He wants to do. You may feel something, you may not. What you feel doesn't really make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. It's kind of funny because this is the place of commissioning. If you want to be a minister, and I'm going to bring this more to ministry training, but God must take you beyond the veil before you can really be an effective minister. Because the only thing that is effective in ministry is the presence of God, the love of God. And He wants to fill you with that so that what He does in you spills over on others. Now, see, once you've been there and He commissions you and He fills you and equips you and then He sends you, it's not you in your wisdom and your words. It must be the presence of God Himself. So you've got to go to that place and be sent from that place. And when you know that it is God, there's no glory in it. You won't touch His glory because you know you didn't do it. You know you did. When you do it, it's dead. When He does it, it's alive. So you won't steal His glory because you know that you can't make anything you do be alive. Only God can do that. You want to be a minister? It'll just accidentally happen to you if you start learning how to go behind the veil. It'll just automatically start coming out of you. But if you try to be a minister without going there, dead works. Dead works. We don't want to be ministers of dead works. Doesn't matter what you feel. God is working in the spirit realm. Doesn't matter what you see. He's working in the spirit realm. By faith, just lay there, sit there, and receive. We can put on that first one. And if you show me how, I will switch to the other one so I don't have to interrupt you when it's time. You show me what number the violin is so I can switch to it.
Okay. So, do you want to record this or do you want to record
it? I don't want to record it.